This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. And today, a special thanks to the National Security Agency, apparently. Thanks for listening. I mean it. 140 million Verizon subscribers, a billion calls per day. There has to be some serious trash talking going on, right? I feel safer knowing that I'm an AT&T customer. People whose phone calls are boring, apparently, innocuous, as I look at my AT&T bill, and this goes for you, Sprint and T-Mobile customers, I'm feeling a burst of patriotism. All those suspicious Verizon customers, on the other hand, what would we call them? Sleeper cell phones, I guess? But seriously, folks, let's begin with a look at this revelation of a vast and expanded domestic phone surveillance program by the Obama intelligence apparatus, surpassing apparently what was done under George W. Bush's administration. A court order obtained by the Guardian news organization seems to show a huge scale of domestic surveillance. The Obama administration has allowed the National Security Agency to look at virtually all of the call data on the Verizon network. The top secret order approved by a so-called FISA court under the revamped Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act confirms the Obama interest in a tactic of intelligence gathering the president once opposed as a candidate for the White House, but now seems to embrace, now that he's got his own situation. When we are joined now by James Bamford, one of the country's leading authorities on the NSA, author of several books, including The Shadow Factory, The Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to the Eavesdropping on America. James, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Now, are you surprised by this, or on some level, and I'm reading between the lines in some of the reports, this is implied that this is a natural consequence of the changes that were put into the FISA Act and that we could have anticipated this sort of thing?
Well, I agree, and that was one of the problems with the FISA Amendments Act was that it basically legalized what George Bush had been doing in his warrantless eavesdropping program.
Why do you think, well, first of all, talk about the kinds of information that it looks like this court order has allowed the NSA to gather.
Well, this particular court order, and there probably are many other court orders that nobody has seen yet, but this particular court order, from looking at it, it orders Verizon to turn over all the call data internationally and domestically to the NSA. That means who's calling whom, what time the call is made, where the calls are being made from, all the data except for the actual content of the call.
So they're actually not listening, but they do know where the callers are because they can geolocate them using the network.
That's right. They can get all the data except for the actual conversations.
And let's try to contrast what George W. Bush did that was apparently unauthorized and listen to Barack Obama campaigning against these kinds of tactics back in 2008. First, here's George W. Bush's rationale for domestic surveillance.
We really need to know what they're saying. And we need to know what they're thinking. And we need to know who they're talking to.
So that was Bush's rationale. It seems that the scale of this surveillance suggests that the administration wants to essentially monitor every international call coming into the mobile network in the U.S.
Well, they did that under George Bush also, but I think under the Bush administration, they limited it to the international communications in and out of the United States. What this does is expand it dramatically. Nobody's ever gone this far in terms of watching every communication period, every communication in the United States or into or out of the United States.
But one of the things that's so unusual here is that it contrasts so sharply with the way President Obama, then candidate Obama, talked about this sort of thing back in 2008. Listen.
You know, if you start asking them questions about their intelligence activities, warrantless wiretaps, things like that, they won't, you know, you can forget it. I think it's very important to remember that this is a government of and by and for the people. And the only way you can hold us accountable is if you know what we're doing.
Now, there are a couple of interpretations here. I mean, the president may know something. He undoubtedly does know something that we don't. But is there also the possibility that anyone in the White House becomes a captive of the capabilities of the National Security Agency?
Well, most presidents do. That's the problem. And Obama became captive of the drone technology, and he's apparently gotten captive of NSA's technology. I mean, the NSA director right now is the most important intelligence official in the history of the country, basically. He's a four-star general. He's in charge of the largest intelligence agency on Earth. and the most secret intelligence agency. So when you have that much secret power, it tends to go to your head sometimes.
And let's talk about the capabilities of the NSA. We've said here that as far as we can tell from this court order, what Verizon is handing over to the U.S. government is called data, who called whom and when and where they are, because you can locate them based on their cell phone usage and what tower is being activated by the cell phone. But do they also have the capability to record the calls?
Yes, calls and also email, tweets, anything that's communicated. For example, the NSA, a couple of years after 9/11, they built a very secret room inside the AT&T switch in San Francisco. This is a massive building. It's about 10 stories high. And they have a secret room there where all the communications, domestic or international, that comes through that switch, which handles much of the northwest part of the United States, is duplicated, and it's sent down to this secret little room where there's software that filters all this communications, telephone and email, and then picks out whatever the software is programmed to find. So if you have a telephone number that's programmed in there, or if you have a email, or your name happens to be on the watch list, whatever, if there's a, if you're targeted in that, on that software in that room, then your communications will be kicked out. And that's voice as well as data.
Do you think the American people are terribly concerned about this? Have we basically passed a point where there's ever going to be enough pushback to really restore the way things once were?
Well, I think the there was a great deal of outrage over the warrantless eavesdropping, warrantless wiretapping program under the Bush administration. And I think each time this happens, there becomes less sensitivity to it, and it becomes more acceptable. We just have to wait and see if this has created outrage among the public or not. It should, because we're moving in a along a line that takes us to what George Orwell wrote about in his book 1984. I mean, we're basically surpassed that at this point. So, yeah, I think there should be great concern over this, because this is a massive expanding of where we were before we knew this.
1984. Now, there's a book that could use a sequel in our time. James Bamford is the author of The Shadow Factory, The Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to the Eavesdropping on America. Thanks so much, James.
I appreciate it, John.
Register your outrage if you can. Do you have a reaction to what we're learning from the Guardian News organization this morning about domestic surveillance of Verizon phone call data on the Verizon network? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.